Well, hello, race fans. Welcome to a new podcast being launched by High Side Racing Promotions. It's called Beyond the Flags, and we're talking to drivers that are part of the IMCA world. We're going to be talking to modified drivers, sport mod racers, stock car chauffeurs, and more. Throughout the entire United States, we'll keep things West Coast based at the start, but we'll expand as things go along. And our first guest is my friend. He is from Klamath Falls, Oregon. He drives the 54N Friesen Performance IMCA Modified, and it's Nick Trenchard. We talk to him about what's there to do in Klamath Falls, as well as some life changes that have been in the works for him the last little bit and how those have affected him in good ways, as well as a cracking start to his 2024 season by winning the recently reopened Yreka Speedway season opener last Saturday night. That and more on Beyond the Flags podcast. Well, here we are on this debut episode for Beyond the Flags podcast, talking to drivers that are part of the Speedway Motors IMCA weekly racing program. And we start off with a guest that's hot off of a victory. Yreka Speedway in Northern California reopened after being dormant in 2022. And Nick Trenchard, you're like the wizard of Yreka when it comes to racing there, especially in the modifieds. Able to pick up the victory in their season opener last Saturday night.
Yeah, we had a super good night. Kind of nervous going into the night, just all brand new stuff. Don't know if anything's going to fall apart and whatnot, but we went through the car really good and practiced the Friday before and just got super comfortable in the car at the end of Friday night, and then Saturday went into the race night pretty confident. I think there was like 9 or 10 cars there, and ended up going quick time, won the heat race and won the main. So it was a super good night. I don't know what it is about that place. It just suits my driving style super good, and got my first win there in an A mod. Like, shoot, when was it? I think 2013, and been winning there ever since, I feel like.
Well, and, you know, the big success story, Travis Peary and the entire group that brought racing back to Yreka, it's so common, well, not, it's, the odds of a place shutting down and reopening is very low. You know, that's
right.
That's the common thing, is once it's shuttered, it's gone. And that was looking like it was going to be the case at the Siskiyou County Fairgrounds, but Yreka able to reopen, I think, is just a good deal, because it gets there's a group of drivers based out of that Yreka, Weed, Montague,
yeah,
Gazelle area that they kind of really only race there, and also there's a lot of guys from outside the area, such as yourself, like to go down and race there.
Yeah, for sure. No, appreciate Travis and Leanne and their whole family and team that put that deal together. Travis is really, really dedicated to that place. And I mean, he grew up racing there. So I think it has a special place in his heart for sure. And they're really putting in the work to get that place good. And I think, honestly, I think they're probably going to get it to where it's one of the nicest places on the West Coast, in my opinion, like with Travis doing the track prep. You've kind of seen him go to different racetracks and kind of turn their track prep program around. So he's going to do the best he can for his own facility, obviously. So it's just going to keep getting better and better and better for sure.
Well, and that's something that I forgot to ask you the other night, was the characteristics of the new track. How does it compare to the old one? Because it looks like there's some slight differences of just, you know, outside looking in, there's a retaining wall that goes all the way from 1 into 2 at the top of the track. That wasn't there. It's sort of, I had always remember Yreka as the fencing being at the bottom of the reverse banking. So if you went off the top, look out, basically.
Yeah. No, it's kind of taken a little bit to get used to the wall. Like if you were to fly off the track before, it's kind of a pucker moment, but it's for sure different. Like it's more of a D shape, I feel like down the front stretch going into one is super tight. Like you almost have to stop to get into the corner. And then as soon as you're going through two, you're pretty much turning left all the way down into 3, and through 4 is super sweeping. So it's definitely different and raced quite a bit different, but I think for the better. I don't know. I started up front, so I didn't really get a race with too many guys, but I felt like it would probably race good, like in traffic and whatnot.
Well, we're going to dig into you and your racing history. And for you, when did your racing involvement start? I guess, when did the bug start to bite you?
So in high school, I started helping my dad and whatnot, going to the races and just wrenching on his stuff. I wasn't super duper into it back then. And then, you know, just a young kid doing stupid stuff and whatnot. And then once I turned 18, I'm like, man, this shit's actually kind of cool. And then, got my own car, and actually did my senior project was building a modified. And, my rookie year in Medford, I think was like 09 or 08 or something. And one rookie of the year there. And then, I got hooked up with Rich and Nikki Bean, way back then. And they kind of slowly started out helping. And then throughout the years, just increased sponsor dollars and, just got more help and better cars and, pretty much went from there. It's hard to remember all the wins and championships and stuff like that. But honestly, you probably remember more of my stats than I do.
Well, I remember, 2015 and 2017, you won the track titles at Wairika. And then 2022, yeah, Technically the champion. And that's something that, for folks that are unfamiliar with Wairika, is IMC Northern Sport Mods really, you know, caught on fire, let's just say, the last few years, especially in the Wairika area. And so for the modifieds, I think 2020 was the last time IMCA crowned a champion, and Travis Peary was the title winner. However, yeah, 2022, they had a series ran in honor of one of your late car owners, Nikki Bean, and you won all four races, right? It was a four-race mini-series?
Yeah, we ended up picking all four wins on that, so that was super special, too. Yeah, my dad kind of put that series together, and there was a pretty decent car count all year for that deal, and there was a lot of good guys that came down for that, so that was pretty cool to sweep the whole series and pick that up for Nikki.
Yeah, I remember that was 2022, and kind of a little bit like 2021, really the only... I mean, you know, there were some years there where there was only a handful of races, notably the IMCA Wild West Shootout opener generally. And that was a race I think you won, what, 3-4 years in a row? You only ran like one or two races. It was Wairika and Medford when it came to Mod Speed Week generally. And
yeah, I think the last three races there I've won for the Speed Week deal, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's
hopefully
like
we can keep that going this year.
A first pitch homer for you. So.
Yeah. Yeah, just win one and then shut down for the week.
Well, you were mentioning about your dad racing and everything, and I know that there was a racetrack in the area where you live in the Klamath Falls area. Was that where you would go and watch racing there, or was dad racing at Southern Oregon Speedway in the Medford area?
Not necessarily. That place is a Warden Speedway, kind of a podunk operation, so that didn't run for very long. He mainly would go to like Wairika and Medford, you know, and we just do that deal. He didn't travel a whole lot. He went up to Elma, I think once or twice. I think we were there when Brownfield unfortunately passed away that weekend, and then he's kind of picked and choose stuff, kind of like what I do. So.
Well, and speaking of Elma, Grays Harbor Raceway, that's all the way up in Washington for you listeners that aren't quite sure where that's at. That's a place that's treated you well over the years as well for the Shipwreck Beads Northwest Modified Nationals.
Yeah, that, I don't know, that place suits my driving style pretty good too, I think. Oh, since like 2013, I don't think I've finished outside of the top three since then. So it's been super good to me. I think we've gotten four of those wins so far. So hopefully we can pick up another one this year.
Well, and it races like a complete different animal than what exists in the Pacific North, really even the Western United States. I mean, the only place I could think of that's sanctioned, like in California, Paris is a half mile, and they run modifieds there every now and then. And then Hanford occasionally will. That's a 3/8. But and Petaluma, too, there's another track. But, like, Elma is just this wide. It's a 3/8, but it seems like it's a half mile. It's all about speed at that place.
Yeah, you really got to keep your momentum up and just not get the car too sideways and just hit your marks every time. It's definitely a different animal than like all the quarter mile stuff around here for sure.
Well, this is always a thing I love to ask drivers and hear the story behind the number that they selected, or perhaps it was selected for them. 54 in is a number that you've ran for a really long time. And what's the story behind that?
So, my dad grew up in San Rafael, California, and, he has, Uncle Larry. He started helping him out as an old sprint car guy. He used to race sprint cars in Petaluma and, Santa Rosa and stuff like that down there way back when. And they had a deal to where, I'm not sure exactly how it worked, but his number was 54. But they had to pick a letter, and I don't remember how it worked exactly. Like I think it was, if it was an N, it was like a rookie or something like that. But anyways, he was 54N. So my dad, when he started racing, he became 54. And then I just picked 54N for 54 Nick, but whenever I see my Uncle Larry, I just tell him it's for him.
There you
but
go.
But if it wasn't for my Uncle Larry, and we definitely wouldn't be around racing, because I don't think my dad would have got into it without them. So I guess I got to thank him for all this stuff, too.
Well, I think back in the day, too, is they would have combined races, like at Calistoga, which isn't too far from San Rafael. And they would have Northern Auto Racing Club, NARC, and the... Yeah. CRA guys from that would race like Ascot down in LA. And I believe that to differentiate, they would put an N behind their number. Of course, things change and reasons change and stuff, but no, that's interesting.
I think that's what it was. Couldn't remember exactly what the hell the letter was for, but I think that's what it is.
Sure. Are you looking to find that adrenaline rush, but you can't because you're not at the racetrack? Well, check out the IMCA TV Replay subscription library to have access to thousands of hours of racing for just $24.99 a month. Relive all the moments of the Speedway Motors IMCA Super Nationals fueled by Casey's at Boone Speedway, the Harris Clash at Deer Creek Speedway in Spring Valley, Minnesota, the IMCA TV Winter Nationals at Cocopah Speedway in Somerton, Arizona, Florida's Clash on the Coast, and dozens of Speedway Motors IMCA weekly racing program racetracks from across the nation, as well as the IMCA TV Dirtcast podcast. Plus, 25% of that $24.99 monthly fee goes towards the Driver's Point Fund and is a great way to help out your local racers. In 2023, over $97,000 was paid out to IMCA drivers directly at over 50 racetracks across the country. Please note that live broadcasts are not part of the replay subscription. That's IMCA TV. IMCA TV, where America comes to watch racing. Well, moving along and changing topics, Nick, this has been a great conversation. This is kind of the off-the-track stuff. I mean, you know, you've got a life, right? We all do. For you, when you're not racing middle of the week and not working on race cars, what are some favorite things that you like to do?
Honestly, like, I'm pretty hardcore into racing, so whatever racing is on, whatever out in the Midwest during the week, I'll turn that on in the shop and watch it, or I don't know, I'm not into too much other stuff besides racing. I'll golf every once in a while, but now that we have our beautiful daughter, she kind of keeps me busy throughout the week too. So she's 11 months just last week, so she's getting to be quite the handful, moving around and trying to walk. So she keeps me busy for sure.
I was going to say life changes when you become a parent, but it really gets real when they start getting mobile, especially when they start when they start running around.
Yeah, it was nice just setting her down on the floor and going to walk away and then coming back and expect her to be there. And then, but now you set her down, she's like on the move.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. I'm not putting any suggestions out there or anything or trying to make your life harder, but when there's two and they're mobile, that's when... That's when your blood pressure gets really up, and that's how gray hair starts.
Yeah, we're wanting to have two, but now that she's starting to move around, I'm like, holy shit, this is going to be insane with two.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Klamath Falls, Oregon, which is I classify it as kind of in the central part of the state on Highway 97. Yeah. For folks that have never been there or maybe thought about going there, what are some cool things to do in that local area?
Crater Lake is pretty close by. I think it's like 40 minutes away. That's really cool to go and see. Other than that, there's not really, I mean, I've been here my whole life, so, there's not really a whole lot to see around here, I guess, but it's a pretty beautiful place to live. It doesn't rain a lot like up in Eugene or Medford throughout the winter, so we get a lot of sunshine down this way, and so that's nice because the rain kind of is depressing in the wintertime, but yeah, I don't know, it's a pretty cool place to live.
Well, 2024, it's underway and pretty much in full swing. For you guys, your racing program, is it pretty much going to be kind of the Yreka and, if time allows, Southern Oregon Speedway kind of deal, or have you got your schedule kind of outlined of what you like to do or places you like to go?
We're definitely going to hit all the Yreka stuff, and then Medford, we'll try and hit as much of that as we can. And then kind of just pick and choose like what we always do, just the big pan, specials around the state, and maybe go down south and up into Washington too as well. And then, we'd really like to try and get out to Boone again this year for Super Nationals, because that was the last time we went was kind of a wash, no pun intended, with the rain, but I definitely like to rerun that one. So,
absolutely, it's definitely, it's. I tell people, they're like, "What's it like?" And it's like, I could sit here for 30 minutes and tell you all about it, but you have to experience it to really understand it.
Yeah, you can't. If you're a race fan or a racer, you definitely have to go out there at least one time in your life. Like nothing you've ever seen before.
Well, I know that you got a group of great people backing you as far as sponsors or marketing partners or product sponsors, as well as individuals too, that just lend a helping hand. And any folks that you want to thank real quick as we wrap things up?
Yeah, I got to thank my wife first off, because she just puts up with a lot with all this racing. My daughter, my dad, my whole family, just all my friends and family. And then, of course, my marketing partners, Bean Racing, Rich and Nikki Bean. They've pretty much made my whole racing career, and I'll be forever grateful for that. JT Chassis and Design, Best Home Storage, Monty Bischoff came back on this year. Mathami Wagyu, Scott and Katie Alexander, AG Auto and Repair, Snap-on by Justin Green, New Heights Chiropractic and Wellness, Midnight Graphics and Design, Swiss Springs, Weir's Machine, Fast Shafts, Dirt Stars Racing Products, Harris Auto Racing, Winning Edge Carburation, Slick Stick Shocks, Carl's Performance, just everyone that helps out makes a huge difference, and I couldn't do it without each and every one of the people that have a hand in my program.
Well, I know that it was an emotional victory for you last Saturday, with Rich and Nikki no longer with us. And, the story, how you guys connected and everything, I think you touched on it a little bit earlier, talking about your early racing career. What was the formal introduction of you guys, and how did your guys' partnership kind of start and change?
So my dad owned a body shop, probably 06, 07, somewhere in there. And Nikki had wrecked her truck and brought it in and saw that we had race cars sitting there. And Rich has been a huge race fan his whole life. And Nikki said, well, my husband would, you know, probably like to come over and check out your race cars and stuff. So they came over and kind of slowly started helping out. I think they were giving me $500 or something to start, and then slowly just started increasing, you know, sponsor dollars. And they ended up buying me, oh shoot, when was it? I think in 2011 or 12, Casey Vitale had an old Loose Gruff for sale, and they went up and bought that for me. And then we raced that car for a couple few years, and then we ended up getting a Shaw, I think. And then, Rich and Nikki were pretty full on board with, you know, helping me out as much as they could. And, it's been an emotional couple years losing them. They were a huge, huge help in my racing program, and I miss them a bunch for sure. It's kind of hard. Like Sunday morning, I would always call Rich and we would just go over the race night, and it's kind of weird not making that phone call Sunday morning now, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, totally what you mean. But it's so cool that Wairika is going to have sort of a prelude to the first round of the IMCA Wild West Shootout and have the Richie and Nikki Bean Memorial in the middle of June. That's super cool that Travis and the folks at Wairika are doing that.
Yeah, no, Travis kind of approached me with that idea earlier this winter, and I said, hell yeah, let's do it. So I really appreciate Travis wanting to put on that show, and it's going to be a good race, and I hope there's a good turnout of cars that come for that deal, because it'll be a pretty special race.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time, Nick. I know you're a busy guy. You're a busy dad now. And best of luck to all your racing in 2024. And maybe we'll be checking in on you as the winner of the Rich and Nikki Bean Memorial feature winner.
Oh, shoot. I sure hope so. Hopefully I win before then, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, race fans, that does it for this interview. We hope you enjoyed it. And we hope that you continue to enjoy these upcoming interviews. We appreciate it if you would like and subscribe wherever you're listening, whether it's on Spotify, iTunes, YouTube, wherever it's at. Give us a like and give us a subscription so that we can deliver more of these great interviews to you for your listening pleasure. In the meantime, wherever you're at, wherever you're listening, we hope you have a great rest of your day and a pleasant evening. And we will see you soon here at Highside Racing Promotions. Let's take a moment to dig into the upcoming schedule on IMCA.tv. Kicking things off on Wednesday, April 17th, will be Stewart International Speedway in Iowa, as well as Bloomfield Speedway on Thursday, April 18th. Friday night, we'll see several tracks racing, including Davenport Speedway in Iowa, Dakota Speedway in Mandan, North Dakota, Eagle Raceway in Eagle, Nebraska, Wairika Speedway in California, Price, Utah's Desert Thunder Raceway. On Saturday night, it'll be a full card of Maquoketa Speedway and Boone Speedway in Iowa on Saturday, April 20th. Eagle Raceway for night number 2 in Nebraska. Iowa's Independence Motor Speedway. Michigan will be on the tab with Crystal Motor Speedway. Up in Minnesota, North Central Speedway in Brainerd will kick things off. Grays Harbor Raceway in Elma, Washington. Dakota Speedway for their second night of action in Mandan, North Dakota. Placerville Speedway with a rare appearance of IMC Northern Sport Mods in California. Oregon's Cottage Grove Speedway. Back in California, Bakersfield Speedway. Wairika Speedway's second night of a doubleheader, as well as Desert Thunder Raceway in Utah's second night. And then Sunday, to close the week out, Benton County Speedway in Benton, Iowa, home of IMCA. Interstate Speedway in Jefferson, South Dakota will return for action. And that is your upcoming lineup. For more details, visit imca.com of how to purchase your live view passes and more. It's imca.tv, where America comes to watch racing.